I noticed different people talk about, we white folks usually will say, we live so-and-so. I live at 601 Dakota Street. And some of the other folks stays at certain street. And you've noticed that probably. They never say they live, they stays. Well, there's another word, dwell. You know, where do you dwell? And this is a common word in some sections of the country, and it's a scriptural term. And so many dwellings are in a certain area, dwelling houses, places for people to dwell. And something about home and something about the place you live, stay or dwell, that's just different to any place else in the world. There's an atmosphere about home that's just great. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now, if I walk into your home, I may not kick my shoes off at the door, unless they're muddy or something. That would be a reason. I might not recline in the best chair in the house. I sort of resent somebody coming in and popping himself down in my chair. So I kind of remember that. When I go to somebody else's house, he or she may have a special place that they like to sit. So I try to pick the chair that would not be obviously their sitting place. Y'all don't care? You don't have a certain place? Boy, I do. And then I don't like for nobody to sit in my place. I like to kick my shoes off, get in that old recliner. It's getting worn. But I'm going to get all the good out of that and just lay back and feel like I'm at home. Sort of do as I please. I want to sip a little coffee, Sanka that is. I'll do that. And if I happen to spill a little bit, nobody's business except mine and pigeons. But what I'm trying to say is there's just no place like our dwelling place. You could say the same thing. It's just something about that. It's, you just sort of do what you feel like doing and rejoice in being at home. I confess to you, there's not a place in this world that I'd rather be than home. And Sister Rutledge, no, she tries to run me off once in a while. Go up and see your folks. Go over in Tennessee and see your uncle. I could get so much work done if you wasn't here. But I like home. It's my dwelling place. It's a place that we're happy together. It's a place of comfort. It's not the finest place in the world, but to me it's comfort. Comfort is not just coolness or warmness. It's being able to be happy. Be happy, extremely happy. Amen. Well, in the 23rd Psalms, the closing part of it, after all the things that David said about the Lord is my shepherd, and about the comforting power of the rod and the staff, the blessing of the cool waters, and the blessing of the green pastures, all the things that are mentioned in the 23rd Psalm, he ends it up by saying, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a dwelling place. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you folks, heaven is worth striving for.
Amen.
What a dwelling place. Now, I don't think it'll be anything like our own homes, our houses that we live in, as I've been mentioning about my own. That's comfort of this life. But that glorious day of comfort on the other side, that's worth going to heaven for. Now, you have to prepare. It's just like the home. The home would not be comfortable unless someone made it that way. Someone pays the price. Somebody keeps it straight and clean. And I kick my shoes off and Sister Rutledge picks them up. I like them. If I go to get them on again, I like to go back to the place that I kicked them off. That's where I dwell. And I go where I kicked them off and they're not there anymore. And she's put them in the closet of all places. And then I have to go find them or grumble, and she does. But home, someone makes it comfortable. Someone makes the atmosphere there. I know people that seemingly just can't hardly stand home. Now, there's something wrong with the home or the individual. If you don't like home, there's something wrong with the home itself, or there's something wrong with the individual. Now, we have some that do not get to spend as much time at home as they would like to. Obligations and work and circumstances keeps them from being as home as much as they would like to be. But I'm telling you, I think so much about this heavenly home that I'm doing my best to make that place because I want to go there. I mean to go there. And I see no reason why I can't. And when I say I can't, I see no reason that I can't. I'm saying the same thing pertaining to you. The devil is no more able to overthrow you than the giant was David. Hallelujah. That is, now, if you want to just sit down and cry and whimper and surrender, maybe that giant can overthrow you. But if you'll stand up in the name of the Lord, there's no power that's able to take this away from you. Let me tell you that are not in the church yet. There's no power that can keep you from coming into the church if you want to come into the church. Surely you want to, or you wouldn't be here today. Surely you want to, or you wouldn't support the good cause of the church. You want to go to glory. You want to be saved. Now, let's don't give the devil credit that he's not due. He's not big enough to keep you out of heaven if you want to go to heaven. After all, Jesus died for you. And heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. But listen, after life has come to a screeching halt, it's too late to prepare then. There being no baptismal services for the dead. There never has been, there never will be. There will be no one baptized, and no one can be baptized for you in your behalf. If you're ever going to be baptized in Jesus' name, you must do it while you're living and breathing here. Amen. Nobody can receive the Holy Ghost for you. Amen. Nobody can put it upon you. In times past, people have been scared because of they claimed that the holy rollers were able to throw dope on them. I think they've been about like BJ. I have to pause in the backyard sometimes to keep the ticks off of him. And when I get that poison sack and start throwing it, I guess he don't like to smell it, but he heads for the doghouse and pouts for 2 or 3 hours. Literally, he don't want anything to do with me when I start throwing that powder out in that backyard. Now, some people are scared of this being thrown on them. It doesn't happen that way. It never did happen that way. You know, you could be right in the midst. Some time ago in the choir, when we first started this church, Brother Charles was directing the choir, and there was some joined. The church was new. The enthusiasm was great. It's a shame that we lose some of the enthusiasm as we get a little bit older in this thing. If we ever grow, it's because of enthusiasm. We attract the outsiders by being enthused about this thing. So some went into the choir that really didn't belong there. I've never called anybody out. It doesn't bother me too much if someone shows up in the choir that's not dressed exactly right. I'm talking about outsiders coming in now. Of course, if it's some of you, I'd talk to you if it went on prolongly. But I remember Brother Charles asked me one time about someone, the way she was dressed and all that, being in the choir, and I said, well, just encourage the rest of them to worship. And if the rest of them sing and shout and praise God and talk in tongues, they'll either get in or they won't like that atmosphere. And that's exactly the truth. And so it is around here. Now, we might build a strong attendance in a formal-like manner. There's a lot of people loves formality. But the people that really want the blessings of God are hungry for something to go on here. You know, we've had such services that people don't want to go home when it's over. And we've had such services that they couldn't get out quick enough when it's over. Wouldn't hardly speak to anybody on the way out. Go out with their head down. Like an old chicken with a, what's that? Roop? Sore head. Eyes swollen. Just feel down and out. Don't feel like fluttering or cackling or crowing. Just down and out. Amen. But we can have services where we feel like clapping our hands without anybody telling us to. Where we feel like hallelujahs without anybody telling us to. Where we feel like running the aisle without anybody saying, come on, let's have a victory march. And when that service is over, you just say, well, I don't even want to go home. Amen. I just want to stay here. I just want to live here. I just want to dwell here. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. I want to dwell here. Now, we're going to a place, if we prepare here, where we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What's it going to be like? I can't really tell you, but it's going to be more wonderful than anything we've ever known. In the Word of God, comparatively, or symbolically, is spoken of as a city with gates of pearl. I do not think that it's literally gates of pearl. If it is, that's all right with me. I think the book of Revelation is a book of significations. In fact, he said it was. I'll show you things signifying the past, the present, and the future. Hallelujah. So I dare say that it may not be literally pearls as we know it, and jasper as we know it, or gold as we know it, but it seems to me that the Revelator is using the most precious thing on this earth to describe the glorious place of heaven. In fact, the street of gold is made out of concrete or asphalt or gravel or dirt in this life, but he compares that glorious street in glory as being a street of gold. I'm telling you, heaven is worth going to.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Someone said it took him 7 days, 6 days really, to create the earth. And he's been gone almost 2,000 years building mansions. So think what a wonderful place that's going to be. I'm here to tell you that he's not building houses. He's not building houses today. Amen. He went to the cross of Calvary to prepare a place whereby we can be saved. There's a place for you, and a place for you, and a place for you, and it all comes about by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands in thanksgiving. Heaven is described as a place of living waters flowing. It's described as a place as a fruit tree bearing 12 manner of fruits, and the leaves falling for the healings of the nations. Somebody said this is during the 1,000 years millennium. As far as I'm concerned, that's eternity. Yet, I don't think he's talking about a fruit tree or necessarily a water. As far as heaven is concerned, Jesus said in that day we'll have no need of the moon or the stars, the sun as we know it, because he'll be the light. The former things will be passed away. You see, I can't explain it. But it's going to be more wonderful than here. But you got in this to go to. You got to get in this to go to that. You got to be a part of this to get in over there.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Now we have many diversities today. People will teach you many things, and I'm sorry that some of our churches have just about lost the plan of redemption in their preaching. Some churches today would. And it's not my place to pick on churches, but you know it's the truth. If you went into some of the more nominal type churches, nominal means cold, dead, formal. Denominal, there's no such word. Denominational, that's another word. And we have many denominations in this world. If you would go into some of them, they would read their sermon that was handed down from headquarters or from some other preacher of the past, and stand and read it, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on his helmet, and he went out to face the giant, and on and on and on with utter boredom. And you go into others, they might preach with zeal and enthusiasm. They might preach about the things that's coming upon the world. They may talk to you about the Battle of Armageddon, and they may shout about it, strange as it may seem. They may talk about the Mark of the Beast and shout about that. have a victory march right in the midst of talking about the things that's coming upon the world. But if we only preach these things and fail to tell people how to get into the kingdom of God, we haven't really done much. You say, but I already know. Evidently you don't if you're here without God. Evidently you have not yet seen what I'm talking about. Because if you really understand it and you really see it, listen, the things that's keeping you from serving God today, they don't amount to a hill of beans when you compare them to the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Now, if I didn't know some of the things that God has prepared for me, maybe I would like the pool hall. In fact, I did. In fact, I hesitated about coming to the altar and living for God because I didn't want to give up the show house and the pool hall. Now, I'm sorry, folks, but that's become commonplace in modern-day Pentecostalism. It really has. Recreation halls and pool halls and bowling alleys and boat skiing and wrong kind of picnic areas have become commonplace in modern Pentecostal. And I'm old enough, I'm just going to call myself old-fashioned enough to say the things that were dangerous for the people of God 40 years ago are still dangerous for the people of God today. Praise God. Someone told me, and I mentioned it recently, about being to a church. I think that Russell and Joy told me about this. They went to one of our churches, and the ladies had them a club. Watch out for clubs. You'll often get killed with one. Watch out for clubs. Watch out about any kind of get-togethers outside church activity. Sometimes life demands that you have to meet in certain meetings and all that. But be careful. There's danger out there. Anyway, this group, this ladies' auxiliary, we don't have that problem here. But they had an exercise club. And they were hula-hooping to music. And it was literally a disco dance in a Pentecostal name, doing it for exercise with bikinis on. Oh, it's just ladies. But I'm going to tell you something, women. In this age that we're living in, with all the perverts that's in this world, among both races, you need to keep yourself dressed right, even in the presence of the same sex. Even in the presence of your same... I do not feel that men with men ought to display themselves in an ungodly manner, or women with women. Too long we've kept our mouths shut about some of these things. And the power of perversion is grabbing people all over this world to the tune of over 200,000 known homosexuals, both men and women, in our own state of Arkansas. Marching in Little Rock, at least two gay churches in Little Rock. I hate to mention it, but we must mention it. We've got one church right here in Pine Bluff that is general knowledge. The pastor is gay. I don't know this firsthand, and I don't want to know it firsthand. But it's general knowledge that this man is a practicing of the gay life. And yet he shouts and sings, and I'm not talking about one of our churches either. Don't you jump to any conclusions. But, oh, God help us. God help us to be ready to miss out on the things of sin and prepare ourselves for that place. But I'm told about the things that God has prepared for us. I honestly don't feel it's a recreation hall. Amen. I honestly don't think that heaven is going to be filled with pool tables and racquetball clubs. I know one of our ministers lost out with God, they said, because he was teaching some little Jane how to racquetball. And, of course, in his teaching, he fell in love with her. That's another story I'll get on sometime again. Listen, folks, we've got enough activity around the church. We've got so much that we're not doing that we don't have a lot of time to throw away in the things of this world. There's so many homes that needs to be called on. There's so many prayers that needs to be prayed. There's so many songs that needs to be sung. Praise God. There's so many testimonies that need to be given. There's so many sermons that needs to be preached. There's so many prayers that need to be prayed. And who's going to do them? Not the man on the street. People like you and you and you. We can pray, we can sing, we can testify. Praise God, praise God. Lift your hands and praise God. I do believe that heaven's going to be filled with singing. I do believe that heaven is going to be filled with praises. I do believe that heaven's going to be filled with hallelujah. I want to go there. I like the atmosphere of hallelujah. When I go to church and I don't hear some hallelujahs, I feel like something's wrong.